weird time of day, internet. It is I, currently Black Ranger. It's been a long day.
Took me a minute with Mike too.
Yeah. And as you can hear, I am joined by our forever Red Ranger, Sasha.
Makes it so much easier.
Yeah. This is why I'm campaigning that we need to set our colors in stone, man.
I thought it was silly that we changed colors every season in the first place.
Listen, man, someone thought that was a really good idea.
I don't remember who that was, but they should be fired.
Anyway, we're here today to discuss three episodes. We are going to be discussing Andros and the Stowaway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about Mission to Secret City. Not the Secret City, but Secret City. And Ghosts in the Machine. Yeah. It's really hard to know where to start with these. So we're going to start with Andros and the Stowaway, as that is the next in order.
Yeah.
And this episode morphing sucked. This episode was awful.
It was trash. It was useless. I actually have a note that says WTF was the point.
Yeah. This was like turbo bad.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Andros and the Stowaway starts with Andros out on his galaxy glider doing scans for Zordon or something, because they've apparently remembered there's a plot in this season. At which point he comes across a small red
goblin-y
thing, small red goblin-y thing in a tree that is hiding from a much bigger anglerfish creature thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is about Power Rangers and small aliens. There's like the dude in the Turbo movie. There's Keeper. There's this thing. I don't know what it is.
It's like Andros, man. Don't question it.
Andros defends him from this angler. I'm just going to call him an anglerfish because that's what he is.
Did he even get a name in this episode?
Yes, he's Jack-a-rack. And we'll
yeah,
get
no, anglerfish monster is correct.
Yeah. So Andros defends him. He's like, okay, dude, that monster's long gone. I'll see you later. And Andros flies back to the Astro Megazord. And the next thing, you know, the small creature is just climbing up one of the boarding tubes. No explanation about how it traveled through space.
There's a very simple explanation.
Or got off the planet.
There's a very simple explanation.
Because otherwise, why did it not do that when it was getting chased by the anglerfish monster? And then they adopt it and they call it Seymour. Because it wants to see more of the galaxy, apparently. And then it eats a lot, grows up. They fight the monster, defeat it. It goes back to the planet and instantly finds a female and goes off with it.
Well, you forgot the bit where the anglerfish monster was looking for Seymour because that's his servant.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he tells Astronomer that, like, hey, I can totes take out the Rangers by turning them to stone, which he does not do at all, except for, like, the boots.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a moment where he shoots a Quantron with, like, his anglerfish thing.
And he does...
into stone.
He turns a Quantron into stone, and then later on when he arrives on Earth, he... makes two Japanese people into stone, because that is so clearly Sentai footage, it hurts.
Yes.
But
the other thing that he can do, apparently, if the Quantron is anything to go by, is make the thing he turns into stone grow by about a foot. Because it's much bigger when he's turned it into stone.
I don't know. I don't know. But you know, we've talked about filler episodes a lot, and there's a debate in pop culture about like, oh, you know, do filler episodes exist? What are their purpose? Now, not every episode is going to follow the main storyline, right? Some filler episodes are used for character development. They're used to progress friendships, to get the kids new toys to buy. This filler episode accomplishes none of those things. It does literally
I
nothing.
have a note here, and you'll hear me bring it up again later in the season. I've probably brought it up earlier in the season too. We are 4 episodes after this one until the part one of Countdown to Destruction, and
Yep.
we are having filler episodes.
And not even good filler episodes.
And there'll be another one that's coming down the line as well. The episode right before Countdown to Destruction is a filler episode.
No, that's annoying. Do they lose a don't they lose a Zord in that one?
Yeah, in the last like 2 minutes, and it's not played up at all. It's an absolute filler episode up to that point. But losing a Zord should be a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And it's in this filler episode that's come out, it's played in like the last 2 minutes, and that's it.
Is it? I wonder if it was, did they think that they would have like less episodes before the finale and then found out they had extra episodes? Or were they just like told they needed to have like more filler episodes or something?
I think
I don't.
it's just bad planning.
Yeah. It's probably the single. So this is a season that I actually remember very vividly. I've rewatched it several times, maybe not in the last like, I don't know, 5, 7 years, but this is definitely a season I've rewatched multiple times. So I had a lot of pretty decent memories. Like I remember, like, you know, you watch certain scenes and like, okay, I remember the story. I had absolutely zero memory of this episode. And that tells you everything you need to know about this episode.
Yeah, there's
There's literally nothing to talk about in this episode.
like this they're trying to tell this story in like 20 minutes, right? And it would have been more interesting if like if they'd met Seymour earlier and he'd been around for a few episodes and that kind of thing, right? They're trying to tell this story of Seymour in like 20 minutes. So Andros develops this weird attachment to this thing. Like he's been injected with some like weapons grade narcotic. Like he meets it once and he's like, it's like in Twilight when
No,
Jacob
don't
imprints on the
stop.
baby.
Stop. Do not even go there. Do not even go there. We do not mention the evil on this podcast. We should not mention the evil on this podcast.
So, Seymour sees the Rangers getting beaten up and gets mad at himself, and runs off to Earth,
To cry about it.
cry about it, where he, surprise, surprise, gets attacked by Jehkrak.
Look, he's has the body of a teenager and the brain of a baby. What'd you expect?
And I have a note here that says there's a moment where they're defending Seymour. TJ yells, "Hit the road, Jacarac." And my note is just simply, they really just named the bad guy that so they could make that joke, didn't they?
Course.
Yeah.
Oi. Oh, my favorite part of this episode, and by favorite I mean the probably the worst part of this episode, although there are many, is there's after they rescue Seymour, right? They have this like they bring him back, and there's like a little montage of all of the moments they shared together. And I just went, wow, we really needed a montage of a character that did nothing to get us to care about them. Got it. Got it.
So, as they're rescuing Seymour from Dakarak, Cassie says to Andros, "Get Seymour safe, we'll handle him." And as is tradition at this point, The other Rangers get absolutely handled. Because for all the good that In Space does, it really does make the non-Andross Rangers look like absolute weenies sometimes. And if Zane's around, it makes Andross look like a weenie too. I'm sorry.
You just really wanted to
No,
say the word weenie twice.
I think it's a reasonable description of they just lose all ability to do anything. There was a nice moment in this episode where Ashley, after Andros had gotten like his feet turned to stone, Ashley actually got to use like her Mega Ranger scanner power.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That was kind of dope. But that was the only thing in this episode that I kind of enjoyed.
God, this was, we were talking before we started recording how hard it was to get through this episode because you couldn't pay me to care about this weird alien fish monster,
Not even
fish
slightly.
baby.
Not even slightly.
But even with like when we previously had these like, you know, one-off characters, like when we had that, what's his name? The little bearded dude whose family got kidnapped.
Lario, that's what I said, the
Yeah.
dude from the Turbo movie.
Right. Like at least we understood why he mattered to some extent. I may be
Because he's
misremembering at this point.
magic.
Right. And he's important because he's a doer of good entity, whatever.
He's magic.
Sure, whatever. Here there's nothing. And it's not even like with think about Wasp with a Heart, right? Still one of my favorite episodes. Because you see a character who is meant to be bad struggling with the idea of what it is to be bad. Is it handled perfectly? No, but this is Power Rangers. We take what we can get. By compare that to this. It's like oil and water, right? Because Wasp with a Heart, in a very roughly the same amount of time, made us care about this monster and his decisions. Because it.
I will play devil's advocate on this and say I think it was easier to make us care about the wasp than it was to care make us care about this thing. Because the wasp had
Agreed.
motivations, it had wants, it had needs, it had desires.
Fair
Seymour
enough.
existed. And that's
But
it. That's the only thing we had to latch onto is that Andros had a weird connection to it.
I'm curious, and I've said this a few times about like, because, you know, there's a very clearly obvious use of Japanese footage here. And I think we talked about this in Turbo. But you see more and more the difference between the American footage and the Japanese footage because there is this growing contrast. So I'm curious how much of this, and we, you know, various stories were adapted directly from the Sentai and a lot wasn't. So I assume most of this plot was probably from the Sentai, but I'm curious
Yeah.
how the weird puppet fit in, the tiny puppet fit in.
So it was very, very close, actually. So the main story and fight footage comes from episode 23 of Mega Ranger, which is called Why My Egg is a Nazir Beast. So I'm guessing these things were Nazir beasts in the Sentai. But we get our Zord fight from episode 43, which will be We Won't Be Defeated, Decisive Christmas Eve Clash. The naming conventions in some of these Sentai episodes could use some work. Or they just don't work well in translation.
C'est
Either way.
possible.
But yeah, the story is pretty much kind of
Similar.
a takeover, yeah, but it also happens much earlier in the season in the Sentai, as
That
we're
means.
stuck where I think it's more about establishing the characters of the Rangers than it is about establishing the character of the monster and of Seymour.
So if this was an episode that was needed to, for example, show that Andros is actually a really caring guy and not just an uptight jerk who doesn't trust the Rangers, I could see that. But we are way past that
We're way
now.
past that. Yeah, like
Like,
if you'd have put this in like the
boy,
first four or
10.
five episodes, because
Yeah.
like you'd seen him sort of like be brush offy with the Rangers early on, standoffy. And then if they'd have done this early and then changed a couple of the lines to be more, oh, so you do care about fake people that aren't you, kind of thing, right? I think it would have been much more impactful than what we get now, which is just, all right, we're contracted for this many episodes. How do we fill it?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
I should mention, with us being in the run-up to the end of the season, is the final appearance of the Astro Delta Megazord. It is not the final appearance of the Astro Megazord. It's not the final appearance of the Delta Megazord. Just the combined form. I genuinely don't think you and I have a whole lot else to say about this episode other than
I
skip.
don't think anybody has any very much to say about this episode. Even the fact that we managed to find stuff to talk about in this episode is far more than what normal people would do with this episode. So we're respectfully gonna, and you can thank us.
Move the morph on.
Move the morph on. Yes.
Mission to Secret City is the next episode we're going to be talking about, which is effectively part one of the next two episodes, sort
Yeah,
of.
sort of.
It's weird.
It's a case of, it's not really a two-parter, but the plot of this episode do carry over to the next one, where by more modern television standards, it's just the flow of the show into the rhythm. But in Power Rangers land, this is less like, typically when this happens in Power Rangers, it's usually a two-parter. But yeah, essentially the plots and events of this episode will carry over to the next one. So things aren't resolved the way they normally are in a Power Ranger episode.
So for a basic summary, Astronomer is putting a plan into gear, which involves sending down a monster that can force people via a beam to go to some place. And she is teleporting many of the residents of Angel Grove to a place called Secret City. And we don't know why. In a more locked down, and the reason why that synopsis is so short is that's literally all you actually know in this episode when it comes to the plot. Like there is no,
We don't
it's
get
yeah
Astronema isn't walking around and narrating her plots like she used to.
yeah she's not ex the exposition machine she used to be.
Now she's the Borg Queen.
Yes, she is the Borg Queen. Only not as good as an actor. But if we break it down to something a bit more crunchy, we have our first previously on segment that really makes it feel like we're in the run up to the finale.
Because they rehash all of the Psycho Ranger stuff and that, yeah. So interestingly, when I was first watching this, I completely forgot about the Psycho Rangers. And even though I just reviewed the episodes, I was too traumatized by Andros and the Stowaway. But I was like, oh, why are they giving us a previous on Power Rangers that reminds us about the Psycho Rangers? Like, we're done with the Psycho Rangers. And then I remembered, no, we are not done with the Psycho Rangers. But because apparently they're ghosts now.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So they're on the Delta megaship, and sorry, they're on the Astro megaship. They're sort of two similarly
They're
named.
on a spaceship, okay?
They're on a ship in space. It's a spaceship.
That's what I said.
And Cassie gets a reading from the warehouse district. And I am never not going to make fun of the idea that there's an entire warehouse district.
I'd like to note it is no longer the abandoned warehouse
Yeah.
district.
Yeah.
The economy of Angel Grove has improved, and we're so proud of them.
Yeah. And what that energy reading is the ghosts of the Psycho Rangers, which admittedly is a super cool idea. Unfortunately, they're
It's like
going to fumble it so hard. But there's this really interesting scene where Cassie, TJ, and Andros, I think it is, head to the district, and the Psycho Rangers are there trying to hit them and can't.
I think it was Ashley, Cassie, and TJ that went.
Okay.
No, it was Andros, Cassie, and TJ. Can't see them. Yeah.
All right. And then the next day, all five Rangers are out with a young toddler
She's
called
not a
Silverwing.
toddler.
She's a toddler.
She's like eight.
That's a toddler.
That's not a toddler.
All right, when we have different definitions of what toddler means.
This girl goes to like elementary school. That's not a toddler.
She's under the age of 10. She's a toddler.
Is that a British thing?
What we call them.
I've never heard that. I toddler is usually somebody between like 2 and 4, and I'm just a kid. Okay, then.
All
Today
right.
on Vernacular, brought to you by Sasha and Ben. Today's word is toddler.
Yeah.
Okay then. So
Anyway,
this child.
this child, this very young child, who is apparently friends with Carlos.
Well, she appeared in a previous episode.
Yeah, because she's the daughter of one of the high school teachers.
Yes.
So the point being, the Rangers seem to have a lot of very, very young friends.
Outreach, and it's not a lot of friends. They babysit. I think they said Carlos was like doing like a big, somebody was doing a big brother type thing at one point. It could have been any iteration of the Rangers. Like they're goody goodies and they babysit and they do like, you know, big brother,
But
big
they
sister.
don't. This season, all
This
the
season they don't.
extracurricular activity is gone because they're spending that time looking for Zordon.
Right,
Or at
but we
least
did
they
have.
freaking should be.
Didn't we have. Huh. Wait. Car. Nope, that was Turbo. Huh. All right, fair enough. Then I got nothing.
Yeah.
I tried. I tried,
All
guys. I
right.
really
So
tried.
this is something that so the monster shows up in Angel Grove. I'm sorry, Ashley teaches Andros how to use chopsticks,
Yeah.
and Andros realizes he's out of white rice because that's apparently all she could feed him. Because if you look at what they're eating, it's just white rice.
Look, the budget went to all the green screen scenes. There was not enough budget to do anything but rice.
So Carlos, Sylvie, and Andros go off to get more Chinese food, and the monster, like Vac Sacker, I think his name is,
Whatever.
shows up, and is immediately confronted by Bulk, Skull, and Professor Phenomenus.
Oh, that's what his name was? I kept writing Professor Calamitous and I don't know why. I don't know where that came from.
All right, so we are 4 episodes
Yeah.
from the moment where Bulk and Skull.
Spoilers!
Become. We've been talking about this in
I
season
know.
one,
I
so
know.
become absolute hero. And we are, and we'll see this again next episode. So we're three episodes away. We are still in bumbling slapstick mode, Bulk and Skull.
Because they don't know what to do with them.
And I have a note here
Uh-oh.
where I say, I think I kind of hate Bulk and Skull right now. I cannot underline to you since, I guess it was it Zio they were the cops?
Yes, because in Turbo they were monkeys.
That Turbo? Okay.
No, it's definitely Turbo.
Yeah, no, I'm
Yeah,
not.
so Zio had to be cops, I think, right? Well, somewhere in and around there. Or no,
The
was
point
Zio when they
is,
were doing the odd jobs?
yeah. So the point is, they had this really interesting arc from being bullies and just comedy slapstick through discovering they wanted to be, discovering a calling that they didn't know they had into being these cops, to the point where the Rangers themselves say they are proud of Bulk and Skull,
Yep.
right? And then it kind of hit that apex and then just went back down into the swamp. And this is the epitome of that.
It's because they were turned to monkeys, okay? It messed with their brain chemistry. Nobody's gonna be the same after that.
It just,
Yeah.
even when they were doing the odd jobs, they were back to being absolute dinguses, right? I just.
I think it's a case of like, I think one, they didn't really know what to do with Bulk and Skull, and you can tell because
Yeah.
their story doesn't really advance the season until the end. But the other,
This story hasn't advanced since Zio. They've
right,
been
but
idiots for three seasons at this point.
the other thing, the and this is where I was going. The other part of it is that the show only cares about Bulk and Skull as slapstick. Because that's what they're there for. They're there for the comedic relief. And we will see this again, much worse, when we get to the Neo Saban era, where the bumbling buffoons don't have any character development or very little of it. They're just there for slapstick and silliness, and then we forget about them.
Yeah.
Because somebody, a certain someone very high up, apparently likes these kinds of tropes, but the rest of us like character development.
I just don't. We've gone from this really good arc of what Bulk and Skull went through to absolutely tanking their reputation, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of made me sour on the characters.
I get that. You can only handle the same thing over and over for so long without any kind of advancement or
Yeah.
development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in this case, complete regression,
Yeah.
which is what has actually happened. And then in three episodes' time, they're going to expect us to forget the last three seasons of regression and be like, oh, it's Bulk and Skull the cops again.
And then we'll get Bulk and Skull the resort owners.
In Wild Force.
Briefly, but yes.
But we have to get Bulk the Space Explorer in Lost Galaxy first.
Oh yes, I forgot
The
about that
skull
because
doesn't wake
mostly
up in time.
I also just generally forget Lost Galaxy exists except for like a
Yeah.
handful of episodes. But
Anyway,
yeah.
let's
No.
stop belaboring the point about Bulk and
I
Skull.
will say though, and there the fact that Bulk and Skull are very, they do show a little bit of bravery here, and the fact that they are unafraid of confronting the monster, thinking that they have a weapon. I think the biggest problem with Bulk and Skull this season is actually Phenomenus. Because half, at least partially,
He is enabling them, but he's not their worst problem. Because just the very writers themselves have forgotten Bulk and Skull.
True. True.
Like, it's. You could have introduced new people to play off of Phenomenus, or even if you took two new people, introduced them in, say, Turbo, and they played out through Turbo and in space in the roles that Bulk and Skull had, and you kept Bulk and Skull as Bulk and Skull on the trajectory they'd been having, it would
Yeah.
have been fine.
Well,
Anyway.
moving on from that.
Yeah. So there's a moment where after Vaxxacker attacks the first group of humans, the Rangers morph and attack it, and it runs off. Bear in mind, at no point when it's attacking the first group of humans do we see that Andros, Carlos, and this kid are in that group of humans.
So they're actually not in the first group of humans. They're actually sort of in the second group. So what happens is they see the first group getting zapped, and then they sort of so it says they get zapped and then disappear along with the others. Anders Carlson and the little girl also get blasted and then disappeared. I think they were trying to run away,
But
and then
you
they got
never
blasted.
see it.
I think you do
No,
though.
you only know they get blasted because they're in Secret City.
Really? Because I
Now,
thought I saw
I
it.
watched, like, watching it this morning. I'm pretty sure
Huh.
that's what I saw.
I watched it like a few hours ago. I could have sworn that they got zapped as they were running away by the monster.
About.
Oh, wow. Well, point is they make it to the Secret City,
Yeah.
leaving TJ, Ashley, and Cassie. So that's when they morph. And then I remembered, because
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and then I was like, there's something significant that happened in this ep happens in this episode. I'm like, what is it? I'm like, oh, I remember. New toys for kids to buy.
Right, so we'll get to that.
Yes.
Another cool concept that's introduced in this episode, that will come back in a later episode, is a force field that will prevent the Rangers from morphing.
Ah, yes. Yes,
Because
indeed.
you'll see that in a later episode to do with some kind of web. Can't remember the exact name of the episode off the top of my head.
I think it's actually just called the impenetrable web.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Which is completely penetrable, by the way.
I'm so shocked by this very shocking revelation.
So yeah, again, that the concept of a place that the Rangers can't morph is really interesting. The Rangers eventually detect where everyone is. They come up with a plan and how to break down the force field. And Alpha runs in and he's got backpacks for everyone that's got everything they need. And they run out. And Cassie is the only one that stops and says thank you to Alpha. And I love her for that.
We do love Cassie for that. That was a nice touch. I think it should also be noted that we flash to our so when Andros, Carlos, and Sylvie, that is her name, arrive to the Secret City, they're not alone with just a bunch of random people. The Quantrons are there.
Yes.
And they very quickly just like put these chains on
Like
everybody and
manacles on everyone, yeah.
just march them in to, I guess, wait for whatever reason. And again, we don't actually know what Astronema's goal here is. We just know she's kidnapping people. But although it's in the one actually the one interesting point that came out of Andros and the Stowaway, which I know shocking, there was one thing, but it says Astronema is going to be building up her forces because she has a plan. To which I said, "Go, Borg Queen, go."
Yes, but
But.
if I can play devil's advocate to that, she ends nearly every episode saying, I've got a plan.
Enough, but it kind of ties into this. But it kind of makes sense though because she says she's building up forces. So when I was watching this, and granted, kids weren't watching these episodes back to back, it was a weekly thing. My first thought, because I didn't know what they were using the humans for, I didn't remember that part. It was, oh, she needs some slaves, so she's enslaving humans, because that's what bad guys do. They invade planets and they enslave
Yeah.
humanity. This is not the case, but we will get to that later.
Also, I need to point out that the name of this city is an absolute misnomer. Nothing about this city is secret.
Secret, yeah.
It is actually just What this episode should be called is City Covered by a Force Field.
Horsefield City.
That's what this episode should be called.
Astronema City. Ecliptors. No, I need a moment of alliteration here. Ecliptors. Yeah, no, I got nothing. All right.
All right, so as I mentioned, the three rangers figure out a plan to get taken to Secret City by Vaxacker, and they grab a bunch of stuff. Alpha sets them up. Cassie says thank you. And once they are there, they start this very well thought out sort of program to blow up this satellite. Which converse to my notes from last season, the last episode, they do not seem like weenies until the plan goes horribly awry when all the Quantrons show up. But we'll get to that.
I have a question about the backpacks. I have several questions about the backpacks, but the first one was, did Alpha only pack them one blaster?
He did say blasters.
He did say blasters.
But they didn't actually have more than one.
Yeah, like I understand strategically from how they were positioned, it made sense for TJ to reach into Cassie's backpack and take out the whatever the blaster's called. But then they keep exchanging that same one blaster between the three of them. But watching Cassie set up like shoot out like a flare that turned out to be like what's it
Scanner.
like a scanner drone was actually really cool. Because I'm like, wait, why does Cassie have a flare gun?
So they locate the satellite dish with the scanner that Cassie fired on top of
Even
this
though they
building.
clearly saw it on the television in the megaship, but
Right, but they
whatever.
don't know where they were going to land in the city, do they?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So they triangulate where they need to go and they start heading for it. At which point the Quantrons show up. They shoot a couple, and then Ashley says to TJ and Cassie, "You go, I'll hold them off." Right? She shoots a couple more, and then like eight Quantrons show up, which is two more Quantrons than beat up Andros and Carlos earlier in the episode. And Ashley holds her own just fine. To the point where she just wanders up later like she's not been in a fight.
Yep.
So then we cut back to Andros and Carlos, who are chained up with the rest of the people, who can just stealthily move off to one side and have a conversation, even though they're surrounded by Quantrons.
Yeah, also that happens twice. The first time is just Carlos and Sylvie, because what happens was when Andros and Carlos were fighting the Quantrons, I guess the like booster, well,
Battleizer bot thing, yeah.
the Battleizer, the Battleizer before the Battleizer, just somehow magically flies off. This is like the second time a Ranger has just had their Morpher just fly off them. And Sylvie's the one that finds it and puts it together, duh, these are Power Rangers.
Well, she already knew Carlos was a Power Ranger.
Right, she did from the other episode. So she does a she's very like I will say, you know, we've had some very annoying children and very bad actors on Power Rangers. She was fine. I liked the fact that she just kind of very casually, very chill, just picks up the Morpher and hides it behind her doll. And then she very carefully untucks it and gives it to Carlos, and Carlos is like freaking out. I'm like, guys, she's a kid. Nobody's gonna believe her anyway. Like, take a chill pill here. But so this first time is when Sylvie and Carlos step aside so that she can give him the Morpher or the Battleizer. And then the second time, so Andros can get the Battleizer from Carlos. And that's where they tell us that Andros has only used the first two settings of the Battleizer and he's too scared to use the third. I wonder if that's going to come up again.
So he doesn't specifically just say, I don't want to use a third. He says,
Yeah.
it might be too much power and it might kill me. At which point he presses the first button and punches through the chains. even though they're just surrounded by Quantrons. Though the Morphers don't work under the force field, but the Battleizer does.
So it's entirely possible, well, because of the whole, okay, so Power Ranger logic. But I had presumed it to mean because it was such a large burst of power compared to like a regular morph, it was different. But because I don't know, did they knock the satellite out by then? I don't think they did. So we're just gonna chuck it. So there's a very simple explanation of Battleizer magic.
Yeah, Battleizer magic. Okay, so you remember, you talked earlier about you remembering things when you watched an episode, right?
Yeah.
And there's a moment in this episode that made me remember a thing. There's a moment when they're fighting their way up the fire escape to get to the thing, where Cassie does this move where she spins a Quantron and it backflips and lands on the stairs, and she stops. Pulls down her sunglasses and looks over them at it, and it is a completely it's a completely stupid thing to do in a fight, but I remembered that on my first watch, that was the moment I fell in love with Cassie, because it's such just a badass thing to do.
I love Cassie. She's had some really great moments
Yeah.
in this season. I mean, they all have, but I
She
think
doesn't get
this
nearly enough love.
really, I really think a lot of the standouts of this season are in various capacities, like T, I mean, Andros, of course, but really TJ and Cassie. TJ with the strategizing and trying to find new plans and to figure things out, and Cassie for being just like
A good human being.
really though, like the but also because she has these moments with the sunglasses where she's like a little, and she gets angry. There's a point where in one episode where I think she's on kitchen duty or something, or cl on cleaning duty, and she just loses it because they rotate chores, and she's like, I am cleaning like more so than any of y'all, and you're just like dumping crumbs on the floor as I'm trying to clean. Like, you are awful.
I
So
love
I
Cassie. I
like
think she's
seeing
great.
her
I love
be
Cassie. I think
Cassie.
she's great. She might be my favorite ranger in this season.
Yeah,
All right, let me
yeah.
rephrase that. My favorite permanent ranger in the season, because Adam is this season. I have to be very careful how I.
Can we count that he was only in one episode?
That's why I said it's a permanent ranger rather than
I
ranger ranger. So there's a fight going on, and this little kid, Sylvie, hiding in the bushes. And even though she heard Andro say, "I don't want to use button three, it's so much power, it might kill me," she presses the button anyway.
So, to be fair, there's not a lot of options. She's like 8, but also bef right before that moment, Andros confronts the monster. And he charges it to 2, and you see his hand glow, and he goes to punch the monster, and it nada, zip. He doesn't even, he barely lands the punch, and he's like clutching his hand. So yeah, in a very like, this is a dumb kid thing. But I kind of really like Sylvie. She's got spunk. She presses the button.
She wants to kill people.
She has real future ranger potential.
Sylvie Borden is her surname.
That's excessive.
So one other thing I do want to talk about, we talked about it earlier, is this is the first appearance of any Battleizer suit ever.
Yes.
But what this also is, and this is something I want to give credit for, is a rare time Power Rangers exercises restraint. Is that Battleizer thing that Andros got, that he's been using, he got all the way back in a Delta Discovery 27 episodes ago. Rather than what we usually get, which is, here's the upgrade, here's everything it does, buy the toy, 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 buy the toy. It took them 27 episodes follow through on him pressing that third button.
In future seasons, Rangers will either go through on a journey to gain a Battleizer, or essentially like earn it, or it will be given
But
to
it will
them as
happen
an
over like
upgrade.
two or three episodes.
Yeah, no, it's instantaneous. You're right. This is the first time where we have a build up to the third setting, and they never really make it a thing. Like, it doesn't get a lot of focus. It's just something Andros has, and he uses it.
Like, you don't see the others going, press the third button, and him like being, no, I'm not gonna do it. It's just
Yep.
there. And
And
you
the fact
don't
that
realize he's not pressed it until right now.
until this little girl points it out.
And tries to kill him.
Yeah. Well, she understood he was exaggerating, you know? She's a kid. Power Rangers don't die. They barely get big boo-boos. Come on.
Hello, allow me to introduce you to the Pink Ranger of next season.
Yeah, this is the Zordon era. No one dies. No one gets really badly hurt unless they need to for the plot.
Let me introduce you to Rocky, who broke his back
Like I said, unless
in
it's
a
needed
round
for the
room.
plot. And that was the first one. So yeah, let's can we
You
talk
know
about
what
the
you know what happened in Andros and the Stowaway?
What?
I missed an opportunity. There's a moment in Andros and the Stowaway where they're feeding Seymour all the food, and I didn't get to bring up making her soup.
Oh no. What would we have ever done without that joke? I don't know.
Speaking of
All
which,
right.
I mentioned earlier that I'll never not make fun of the warehouse district. I
Yes.
will also never not make fun of Andros's caked out cheeks in this outfit. He is absolutely caked.
Don't know what that means.
He has a very pronounced buttocks.
What that means. So yeah, are we talking about just on during the Battleizer or
Just in
like
the like, if you look at the Battleizer, he's got like, have you ever seen Tim Burton's Batman, where they do a swipe, a like, they do like camera pans across parts of the suit, and there's one that goes across his butt, and it's just like chiseled marble butt cheeks. Like, that's Andros in this Battleizer.
You cannot see me, but I am dying here. Ben has killed me with the butt cheeks. I'm gonna need a minute. But yeah, so one of the
Like,
notes.
he's got like a carved on 8-pack, like cybernetic. I nearly I want to say he's got like cybernetic buoys, and he's absolutely caked out in the back. It's just Anyway, while Satch is busy dying, there's a moment then when the Battleizer is doing Battleizer things, and the rest of the Rangers are back to being absolute weenies. And TJ has this moment where he's like, it's amazing.
Well, we gotta
All
show off how cool the Battleizer is.
Andros is doing at that point is flying. TJ does that every day on his Galaxy Glider.
It's not the same if you don't have wings, okay? Gliding is not flying. It's an entirely separate concept, but there's also this funny moment. I don't know if you caught it, but I think it's when he's setting Cassie down. Cassie just like stares directly at the chest going like, what the hell?
She's just like, huh. That moment, Cassie, was all of us. Then there's the Zord fight, right? Which, it was in this episode that I realized every time they shoot the Mega Voyager V3 missile, they're destroying a Zord.
Yeah.
We cut to the end of the Zord fight, at which point Andros just randomly goes, look, there's the HQ. At which point, everyone has been paying attention to the entire episode goes, "What?
Yeah.
HQ of what? Why? How do you know that's the headquarters? How do you know they have a headquarters? What?"
They saw a building and it looked official, therefore that must be the headquarters.
Yeah. Why do they care?
Because they don't have a do they have a way of getting out at this point?
Yeah, because the
Because I guess
force
if the
field's
shield's
down.
falls down. Right.
They can
It's
just
so weird.
leave.
Well, they can,
They
but
have like how many space shuttles
all
between them
right.
to just take people places?
Fair enough. I do also want to point out that I have here Battleizer, which is just a super buff mode with a jetpack. Then I have with a tech chest. No, just want to make sure that those words were read out loud on the recording. Very important, very important. Yeah. I don't know if I have. Yeah, and then so they go towards the headquarters, and then Astronomer just goes, nope.
But at no point in the previous like 19 minutes of the episode has it been made clear in any way that A, this building is important, or B, that there's even a reason that any building in the city is important other than the one that was holding up the force field. Also, why was the force field not in the HQ?
Did they detect something on the Zord?
Nope. They just go, "That's the HQ." At which point, Astronomer teleports the entire city away because she can just do that.
The power of plot convenience.
And at this point, the episode ends.
Which I do appreciate the fact that the episode doesn't, because, Power Rangers, everything is magically resolved in 22 minutes. So at the very least, it is cool that the story isn't resolved completely. Because at this point, you're fully expecting the Rangers to, like, destroy the HQ, take all of the hostages, and bring them back to Angel Grove. But this doesn't happen.
At which point we continue into Ghosts in the Machine.
There is one more thing that happens at the end of this episode.
Okay. Oh,
The
yeah.
psycho ghosts.
More ghosts.
Ooh, basically Psycho Red is like, we'll be back. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha. That's it. That's very important, clearly.
Which brings us to Ghosts in the Machine. And my first note is, what the morphing hell were those first 3 minutes?
Yeah, it's just them on a cruise
Running
ship.
around an abandoned cruise ship.
Why? They know all of the people went missing and are somewhere.
Right. But when they're flying towards it, they're like, Alpha has detected the missing people in this area on the cruise ship. At
Oh,
which
that
point you're like, that doesn't
make any sense.
astronomers just kidnapped everyone and taken them on a nice cruise around the Bahamas.
Around Angel Grove, not even
It's
the
an open bar.
Bahamas. Honestly, though, looking at the ship, I'm not sure this is a cruise I would want to be on. Did you see their theater room? Look, even bearing the fact that this is the 90s, right? We understand, but this is the late 90s, but still, there is this tiny little TV that looks like it belongs in your grandma's bedroom. And like 100 seats to the point where somebody sitting on the far left or the far right won't be able
Couldn't
to
see a
see for.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So another thing that really struck me, again, we get some more Bulk and Skull. They are the first test subjects of Astronomer's device.
She's got gadgets now.
So just they basically look around a ship for 3 minutes and then just leave. And that's it. That's it. Pointless.
They really had to pad out this episode,
They
guys.
really did, because they didn't do it with the Psycho Rangers. As I said, they bring Astronomer has Bulk, Skull, and Phenomenus brought in, and they're the first tests of the data card machine.
So basically, you get scanned by a really weird looking laser, and then your body is transmorphified into a very green, very big, very green looking microchip. Because.
Well, this is something I'm about to talk about, because Astronomer says they are now their data cards to, and I quote, use however I wish.
Explanation. So much context. I understand this plot perfectly.
However, she doesn't use them for anything. The only data on there is a pe is people, and as we find out later, the only actual use for these data cards is reconstituting the people that are on them.
And one other thing, minor.
Not the data cards. The
Oh,
machine,
right. No, the
yes.
machine, yes, not the data cards. You're correct.
The Rangers locate the Secret City is now under another force field underwater. So of all the places that Astronomer has access to, like, I don't know, the
A
Dark
planet.
Fortress and other planets and all the places that she's possibly been hiding Zordon the entire season. Remember that that's part of the plot, because the writers sure haven't.
At this point, the budget was blown on green screen. We talked about this. They didn't have any more money for new planets. They couldn't even add like a sepia tone filter to anything. The money was gone. It is all left for Countdown to Destruction. And there's not even that much of it anyway.
Yeah, so she decides to hide it underwater on Earth. And the Rangers go, you know what we should do? We should approach it from beneath. And you know
Which
how we get there? We use the mega tank. And the next thing we see is the mega tank driving through some tunnels. But they're like, these tunnels will get us there in a heartbeat. Where did these tunnels come from exactly? Are
they're
they
weird.
naturally occurring tunnels? Is the mega tank meant to be drilling these tunnels? If so, why have they not done this before?
For what?
To build up the fact that it could do it.
There's a very simple explanation that I've just explained to you. Yeah, but also this does feel a little bit like, I literally just talked about how the Rangers have come up with like new and ingenious ideas of how to solve problems. We saw them like going kind of like, I don't know what the term is, not commando, but like sort
Like
of
special
insurgency
forces,
type.
kind of, yeah.
Right. And their solution to this is like just, which like I guess there aren't any other solutions other than going through a tunnel underneath the city, but it
Didn't
was like they
try
didn't even
anything.
try anything else. I guess because
It's
they didn't.
embarrassing. Like,
It's
they
not
didn't
great.
even say, we scanned the force field and we can't teleport in. Like,
They just assumed.
it's like two more lines of exposition. Take out all the nonsense at the beginning with the boat. And give me a minute of exposition of them trying scans.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. So the Rangers, oh, so speaking of stupid things, so the Rangers arrive in the city, right? And they're just like walking around. And they're like, we have to be stealthy.
In the middle of the
And
road,
in the middle of the, like, it's just in the middle of the
in bright
openness,
colors.
right? They're not morphed. Or they are, I'm sorry, they are
They are
morphed.
morphed.
They're morphed. They have bright colors and they're just strolling around like they own the place and then are shocked when the Quantrons show up to fight them. Like, yeah, you're not doing the whole
Duh.
stealth thing very well here.
And they split up,
Yes.
and Cassie and Andros end up in the identifying room,
Yes.
and Astronomer shoots Cassie with the beam, the conversion of which takes about 2 minutes, if you include all the dialogue. At which point, Ashley, TJ, and Carlos burst in and instantly. Astronomer flicks the button and turns all four of them to data cards in about 15 seconds. You are asking me to believe that Andros, having seen what happened to Cassie, would not only A, stay close enough to the thing for it to happen to him, or B, let the other three get close enough for it to happen to them.
Look, we
Get
really
the
needed Zane
morph
to
out of
show up.
here. Get the morph out of here.
Yeah. Also, something that's not immediately clear at first, and I don't think I real and maybe it was just I wasn't paying as close attention, is that the it felt there's like two rooms essentially. There's the digitizing room, and then there's like a separate room
It's
where
like the
Astronomer
control
was.
room. Yeah.
Right. So it was kind of weird, and I like it doesn't fully make sense because there is a door at times and there isn't a door at times.
It's like if you get an X-ray at a hospital. There's the room where all the machinery is, and then there's the control room.
Right. I guess that makes sense. It's just it wasn't immediately clear that that was the case because of how they shot it.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I see is like I see Cassie and Andros walking into the control room, and then it flashes to Astronema in front of a control room with like the key cards or whatever. And I'm like, how did they not see that Astronema was like right
Because
there?
they didn't walk into the control room. They walked
Right.
into the other room.
Right. But what I'm saying is that the way it's shot and edited, it wasn't immediately clear that that was the case.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I was confused. I'm like, how do you not see it? And then later when Zane or whoever burst through the door, I was like, oh, there's a door.
Okay. But yeah, I don't believe that some they would just stand there and let it happen. Also, while I know it is the entire premise of this episode, and it is everything that this episode is based around, and it is the entire point for this episode to exist, but the reconstitution of the Psycho Rangers back into the Psycho Rangers makes no sense.
And is it really necessary?
Yes.
Like
We did not need to bring the Psycho Rangers back.
not when we were finally satisfied that they were gone.
Like I said, the idea of the ghosts of the Psycho Rangers hanging out is a really interesting one. And had they done something with that that was interesting, then all power to them. Guess what? They didn't.
I wonder if the initial idea had been to just be done with the Psycho Rangers, but then because we don't see them again this
We don't see
season.
them again until. Yeah, Lost Galaxy.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah,
But
especially
I
since Astronomer's like
guess
holding the cards at the end of the episode.
yeah, I don't know.
My
It
point
was
is,
weird.
the whole idea, like the episode is called Ghost in the Machine, and there are ghosts going through the machine. The
Yeah.
whole point of this episode was to bring back the Psycho Rangers. They
Yes.
brought back the Psycho Rangers and beat them in 5 minutes, and it was stupid. Didn't need to happen.
And it wasn't even satisfying.
No.
Like we just had the whole arc. It hasn't been that long since we saw the Psycho Rangers.
Watching this makes me realize the more I think about it, having watched this, it makes me realize how much heavy lifting the Psycho Rangers actually did in this season. Because they were the
Yeah.
only real threats that the Rangers ever faced. Right, everything else the Rangers kind of handled pretty easy. They got like a Zord upgrade, or TJ figured out that punching them in the nose was their weakness, or whatever. The point being, to bring the Psycho Rangers back like this and then write them off in like 5 minutes is one of two things. It's either having your cake and eating it too. Like one last appearance of the Psycho Rangers, or you're trying to figure out a way that you can use the Psycho Rangers in the future.
Which we never.
However, we know that wasn't the case because they were going into cancellation at this point.
Oh, true.
Also, if that was the case, you didn't need to do this here. Just show us that the ghosts are out there and then just address the ghosts later.
Yeah.
So Andros has Alpha Cool Zane, everyone's favorite ranger. So here's a question for you. The Rangers got in through an underground tunnel. How do you think Zane got in?
No, flies in probably.
Through the force field.
Sure. Makes
It's
about as much sense
underwater.
as anything else in this
Yeah,
episode.
fair.
But I there's one thing we forgot to mention because he said the Rangers called Zane, but or else we never actually talked about how the Rangers got out of being digitized.
Yeah, the Psycho Rangers just let them out.
Yeah.
Because the
Because
Psycho
there's
Rangers actually want to hurt them.
the Psycho Rangers are very as I talked about with Mike, they're one trick ponies. They have one goal. And it doesn't can't be anybody else that does it. So they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that the Rangers survive so that they can be the ones to kill them, because I'm sure that'll happen.
No, you're perfectly right. I did skip over that. All five of the Rangers were digitized at one point. And the Psycho Rangers show up, beat up a Kliptor, and just undigitize them. And then Zane shows up, fights off a Kliptor, and figures out how to undigitize people really quickly. And he finds a like a filing cabinet drawer with what looks like hundreds of data cards in it. And then it cuts away. It cuts back a few minutes later, and there's like 12 people in the room. He's like, right, that's the last of them. I'm like, that does not add up with the amount of data cards that were in that drawer, my dude.
Yeah, I got nothing for that.
And then there's just kind of the Battleizer, and
Oh,
kind of it.
there's a really funny scene that I kind of appreciate just because it's silly.
Sorry, not the
But
Battleizer, the
so,
Zorfite.
no. So when the Psycho Rangers bring the Rangers back, the Rangers are like, ooh, whew. And then they're like, oh God, Psycho Rangers. And then a Ecliptor shows up. They're like, oh God, Ecliptor. And then Ecliptor and the Psycho Rangers start fighting. And the Rangers are like,
It's
go.
like we're out.
Y'all don't need us here for this. We're just gonna go. That was fun.
And then there's the they do the shooty thing at the Psycho Rangers. They show up in their monster forms, and then they digitize the Psycho Rangers. That's it, the end.
I also have a note here that says, so Ecliptor gets the attacked by the Psycho Rangers, then the Rangers fight Ecliptor. And so I just have here. Where did the note go? I said, man, everyone's beating on Ecliptor today. Today is Ecliptor's no good, very bad day.
This episode sucked. I'm sorry.
Oh, also Zane apparently knows Sylvie.
Okay.
Just a random note, because I had no form of reference, because
I didn't watch the other episode, so
I didn't either, so I wasn't sure if Zane was even in that episode, but he's the one that tells Carlos, like, hey, don't worry, I saw Sylvie, she's okay.
all right. So yeah, I just that episode, all three of these episodes were hard for me to watch. Like real hard.
I would definitely say that Mission to the Secret City is the best out of the three.
Yeah. Mission to the Force Field City. Thank you.
I think Ghost in the Machine could have been better if it had a more of a point to it.
Yeah.
But there was also, like, I think they initially wanted all of this to be one episode, but they realized it was too long, so they split it into two. Because why else do you have this stupid scene of them on the ship, and then you have a second scene of them looking for Zane on the beach,
Yeah.
which wasn't necessary.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I just don't get so some of the scripting stuff that happened in the last like 10 episodes of this season. It just makes me go, the what?
Yeah, there's been some weird things this season. I'd also like to point out that Ben, this is yours and mine last episode
Our solo
together.
episode. Yep.
Yeah, this is it. We're
No.
No, what I mean is
The last
like
recorded episode.
yes, that's what I mean. We still have
There
the
will be
like
another one after this
But
that we
that's it.
normally
This is
recorded.
just you. This is the last time you and I are going to be here by ourselves in the Zordon era. And this is the episodes we had to work with.
Yeah. Not that some of the previous episodes that we got to work with were that great either.
Yeah. I mean, we got the beginning of Astronema's redemption arc.
Yeah. We did get to see Zane make her soup.
This is true. And then I got to end the Psycho Ranger saga with Mike, so that was fun.
Well, technically, isn't this the end of the Psycho Ranger saga?
Don't count this because it's really not the end of the
Yeah.
Psycho Ranger saga, but the
Yeah.
one this was sort of like it does feel a little bit like an afterthought because like man, those Psycho Rangers were so good. Maybe we could bring them back for like one last hurrah, but also like maybe you shouldn't have. But for anybody who is not watching this as they go along with us, knows the Psycho Rangers will return. Dun dun dun.
Well, we've already
Well,
spoiled that earlier in this conversation.
yes, I know, but it bears repeating that they will be back in Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. This wasn't these episodes are they're here. We are going to be closing out. Next episode closes out the last two episodes before we all come back for the
The
official end of
finale.
the official unofficial end of the Zordon era in
I
Countdown to
still think Lost
Destruction.
Galaxy is the end of the Zordon era.
It's highly debatable. I have
It's
no,
got
I
Bulk
don't.
in it, and it starts out in Angel Grove. The
Fair
Red
enough.
Ranger of Lost Galaxy says he was there during Countdown to Destruction.
That's right. He says, and I quote, "I was there the day the Rangers saved the Earth." It's weird that that is seared into my brain 25, 30 years later. But anyway, 20 plus years later. But yeah, so we're coming to what we think or what they thought was going to be the last season of Power Rangers, like ever.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they do it and how they botch it if they botch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap
Yeah.
up because we've been talking for a while already. Where can people find you on the internet, Sasha?
I have no idea what the internet is. I don't use it. I live in a dark hole and I hide from the world there.
I kind of wish that was true.
Don't we all? But yeah, you can find me on Threads, I guess, and Blue Sky at the Jewish Comics Queen. I'm like really, I don't really post that much on social media anymore. It's such a bleh. Threads is still fine if you curate a little bit, but I'm just like, I'm kind of done with the social media thing if I can avoid it.
Yeah.
But here we are. So that's me. I am the Jewish Comics Queen. Hit me up on Threads. That's usually where I'm at. Ben, what about you?
You can find me on Blue Sky at Bob T Goldfish. You can find me on Mastodon on the kind.social server at Bob T Goldfish. You can find me doing the video game thing on Mondays and Fridays, 321 underscore TV, Twitch. You can find this podcast on X. At VFTG underscore PR. And there is a link tree there that you can go to follow us to Facebook or Blue Sky or
Or listen to
wherever.
these episodes on Spotify.
Yeah. You can also find the sister show to this, Awesome Mania, at X75 Productions, which it will be tree. As for that, I think it's time to bring this home by saying, as I always do, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all of those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Hearty on, my friends.
And may the power protect you.
Peace.